how to use tactical silence. Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and welcome to Tuesday Teaching Tips, episode 221. And this is the third of a five-part series. The inspiration was taken from an article I found online that I'll link to in the show notes, called Five Lesser-Known Public Speaking Rules Every Young Professional Needs to Know. And I think there are some really helpful tips here that we also see parallels with to in Scripture. So today we're talking about using tactical silence. He says this about silence. The strategic use of silence nurtures this relationship, the relationship between the speaker and the audience, as it provides space for absorption and, more importantly, reflection on your core message. Silence is often an undervalued part of public speaking. Take Mark chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. Jesus says to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, the people observing, those in particular who opposed him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. And we see here that Jesus allowed silence. How could they remain silent unless there was silence? He waits, he pauses, he says, "What's lawful on the Sabbath? Do good or evil? Save life or kill?" They're silent. There's a period of silence. Something is sinking into them, sinking into the man with the shriveled hand, sinking into the disciples of Jesus, the apostles who were there with him, sinking into the broader crowd. There's that pregnant silence. Silence can be very full. And in this context, it certainly is. And it drives the point home. And then Jesus moves on, does the healing, and drives his point home in that. Silence gives people time to think. Silence gives people time to absorb what is being said and what it means for them, absorbing what they've heard. Silence gives people time to let their feelings catch up with their thinking. Depending on who you are and the context, you may find that sometimes you feel faster than you think, and other times we think faster than we feel. And sometimes I need some silence if I'm listening to somebody to help. Maybe they've touched a nerve with me and my feelings have been, I'm hurt or I'm excited or I'm worried or I'm whatever I'm feeling. I need a bit of silence to let my thinking catch up. Or it can sometimes be the other way around. Silence gives you time also as a speaker to gauge where your audience are, like to gauge from their reactions as you're watching, as you're getting a feel from them as to their reaction to what you're saying. It gives you as a speaker time to gauge that, and then also then to know what to do next. Might you change what you're about to say next on the basis of the faces you're seeing, on the basis of the feeling in the room, of maybe even some verbal ums and ahs? It's very helpful as a speaker to be able to gauge that. But if you're constantly speaking without pausing, just going on and on, you don't have the time yourself to maintain that connection with the people you're speaking to such that then you can gauge what's really going on, or at least have an idea as to what's going on and how that might affect what you're about to say. A lack of pausing prevents your audience from absorbing the information, and it gives the impression that you're afraid of being contradicted. I know I've done this, and I have done this because I'm afraid of being contradicted, and that's not healthy. I don't think Jesus was ever afraid of being contradicted. Of course, he was contradicted, but he wasn't afraid of it. Indeed, sometimes the contradictions that people gave him the opportunity to then speak about what it was they needed to hear. People who rabbit on without pausing or giving people the opportunity to interrupt them do look rather insecure, don't they? Maybe they are. And maybe we all are a little bit insecure, but it's not helped by us just going on and on and on without pausing, because then we're not enabling our congregation, our audience, to learn. If they can't absorb it, they're not really learning. We might be pouring on more and more stuff, but it doesn't mean they're learning. It doesn't mean that we're helping them. And hey, you and I are meant to be servants to the people we're speaking to. And so we must allow a little bit of silence and some pauses so that people can learn what God has intended for them to learn. So don't keep going. And bear in mind that pauses also help people with their concentration. Question for you. Question for today. What practical steps could you take to add silence into your next lesson? What could you do practically? You might need to pray about it. You might need to write it onto your notes. What could you do? What could you do? Or maybe you can set an alarm on your phone every 5 minutes, which will just buzz on your wrist or in your pocket to remind you that you must make sure to pause every now and again. Silence can be so, so helpful. Well, I'd like to know what you think about that. How do you incorporate silence into your lessons? And if you do incorporate it, how does it go? Let me know. Drop me an email, malcolm@malcolmcox.org, or you can connect to my website, malcolmcox.org. Let me know how all that goes. Next week, we're going to be talking about being confidently vulnerable. That'll be interesting. Being confidently vulnerable. If you haven't already done so, hit the subscribe button. And if you want to pass this on to somebody else who might benefit from it, I'd be very grateful, and I hope they would too. Until the next time, have a terrific Tuesday and a wonderful week. Take care and God bless.